Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. Great to be with you. We are now 8 days away from the NFL Draft. I know on the Kevin Herr, I Love Sports deal, there's the NFL, high school football, college football, NFL Combine, NFL Draft. Then there's some other sports.
That's probably an accurate description.
That wasn't meant to be a put down anyway. A lot of people feel that way. Hey, did you see the Phillies beat the Marlins? You see how it turned out?
I saw the final score. I was shocked by that alone.
And your guy hit a home run.
Yeah, I saw that too. Freddie Galvis, I think, also had a home run too, didn't he?
No, it doesn't matter. Ryan Howard homered.
Listen, a blind squirrel finds an acorn every once in a while.
I mean, seriously.
It's great. It's great to see that he finally went deep. By the way, with home run number one.
Well, you start somewhere.
Yeah, that's very true. I just wished it would have been a little earlier in the season. But it is still April. And he did have a good day. He went 2-for-3 with a couple of RBIs, walked. He struck out once. But if you have a day where you're playing that well, where you're 2-for-3, you walk once, you score twice, you have two RBIs, I can live with a strikeout in that line.
The fact that you can live with it warms my heart.
Doesn't it?
Not really. All right, so the NFL schedule was released. Your complaint with it is?
Thanksgiving Day games stink. How's that?
Really?
I mean, you have one division game, and on paper, it's not that exciting of a divisional game.
You have Packers-Bears. That's at night.
Right, which we talked about yesterday.
You've got Carolina with Cam Newton against the Cowboys.
Woo.
Woo what? That's not a bad game. Two playoff teams head-to-head?
Yeah.
And you've got the Eagles. You've got the Eagles, who are an intriguing story, that won 10 last year against the team in Detroit that is going to be in the thick of it.
I would have... Listen, Thanksgiving Day games, at least Packers-Bears is a divisional game. Why not put the Eagles and Cowboys together?
They did last year, didn't they? Who'd they play last? The Eagles played the Cowboys on Thanksgiving last year,
didn't they? Remember. I honestly don't remember.
Of course you don't remember. It does not fit.
But I agree with USA Today. This is not a stellar schedule. Eagles did have the
same. It's the same 32 teams as last year.
Well, here's what you had last year. Here's what you had last year. Seahawks 49ers. All right, when the season started, that would have been a good game. Bears Lions.
Yeah, when
divisional
when
game.
Did. When it did.
And Eagles Cowboys, as you mentioned, nightcap. Listen, I know there's no AFC team there, but I like that schedule. This one just doesn't. It just doesn't have any pop to it.
You want Thanksgiving?
Yeah, I want. I want it. I want.
Oh, they go visit relatives and eat.
What am I supposed to do afterwards, though, Steven? That's the problem.
I think I just took only 10 minutes of your day. What do we do with the other 23 hours and 50 minutes?
I just think that they could have picked better games. Better matchups. How's that? Now, maybe this will turn out to be really great matchups the way that because each season has its own, you know, characteristics. I'm basing this on last year's match, on last year's records and everything. So, you know, but again, I would much rather see divisional games on Thanksgiving Day, and you only got one.
Yeah, okay, but here's your issue with that, though. If you're going to play, you notice the Steelers' schedule. Three of the last 4 weeks are divisional games.
Yes, and there's a lot of them at the end of the schedule on the road.
Right. In the last week of the season, week 17, it's all divisional games.
Right, which I think is a great idea.
Which means you've hemmed yourself in.
Yeah, you're probably right.
You know, you've hemmed yourself in. And that's the issue, because there's only so many.
Yeah, and I know there's a lot of people that are thinking, well, you know, you said you wanted divisional games. What about Bears-Packers? Okay, yeah, that's a divisional game, but even Bears fans can't get excited about their team. They don't even like their quarterback.
No, they don't.
And again, no AFC teams on Thanksgiving Day. Not that that's a big deal. I just thought it was unusual to have last year, but then do it again this year, too.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. People just want to see teams.
No, you're right. No, I know.
The opening game of the season is nothing but AFC teams.
No, I'm not disagreeing with you there. I'm just saying I thought it was interesting that it's 2 years in a row that there's all NFC games.
Well, part of it, yeah, it's not easy to do, by the way. You have to make sure you're not playing three straight at home. You're making sure you're not playing three straight on the road. How does the Thursday night thing figure in? How's a primetime game figure? It's a lot of things you got to figure in to do your Thanksgiving schedule.
Now, I will say one thing about the NFL schedule, especially for my team. I don't think there's going to be any television conflicts between the Eagles and Steelers this year. Because the only time that they play on the same network at the same time would be, I think it's week 10. Yeah, it's week 10. Philadelphia's at home against Miami. Pittsburgh's at home against Cleveland. I would imagine the local affiliate out of Wilkes-Barre would stay with the Steelers game, which is the one they'll carry all year long on WIOU. Now, that's not good news for Eagles fans. But it looks like that's the only conflict throughout the season. When the Steelers are on the game that's a Fox game, the Eagles, I think they have a couple of games where they're a prime time game.
Well, they've got the mad scientist running the show now.
The mad scientist running the show?
Jep.
Oh, now I know where you're. Well, you know, he's been interesting this offseason.
He's been interesting the whole time. Ever gone by the trophy case at the link?
I have not, but I do know what it's missing right now.
There's nothing in it. That's why I think he's got some leeway to do this.
Well, and if he brings a championship, guess what? He looks like a genius.
Yes. And that's what he needs to do. That's what he needs to do. They don't have any. He's got to do something that's maybe a little different. I don't know.
When's the Eagles' bye week? I didn't see that.
I didn't.
I'll have to look. I'll look that up. I couldn't remember when the bye week was.
Yeah.
See, I always find that that's the most entertaining thing when you're looking at the NFL schedule. is where do the bye weeks happen? And, like, is it after a Thursday game? Is it before a Monday game? Do you get a little extra time to work? Is it early in the season, late in the season? Like, the Eagles' bye week is week 8.
Mm-hmm.
And it's after the Carolina game.
Okay.
On October 25th. And October 25th is a Sunday. And then they next play on November 8th. And that would be also a Sunday. So you're looking at a bye week in the middle of the season between two Sunday night games. Is that right? Yeah, the Eagles are on primetime 3 out of 4 weeks between October 19th and November 8th.
Hmm. How about that? Did you actually watch the schedule release?
No, I was on Twitter and watched it develop there.
What?
I watched it develop on Twitter as I saw the tweets come out with different comments and analysis.
They analyze them, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Why?
I don't know. We talked about this yesterday.
You already know who you're playing. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
You don't jump through hoops when you buy groceries, so why should you when you buy a vehicle? A good, reliable vehicle is a necessity, so visit Bill Marks Auto Sales. No gimmicks, no games, just good deals you can count on every time. Bring your best deal in riding, and Bill will match or beat it. They have plenty of trucks and cars that are great low-mileage vehicles at the best prices in Central PA every time. Tired of gimmicks and games? See Bill and Will at Bill Marks Auto Sales, Route 15 just north of Lewisburg, and at BillMarksAutoSales.net. They put their money where their mouth is.
Hey, guess what day it is?
Oh, let me guess. It's Hyundai.
It's Hyundai!
Hyundai!
It's a month-long celebration, 100 years in the making, at Sunbury Motors Hyundai.
Hyundai!
In the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. Save over $11,000 on new 2014 Genesis R-Spec 400-horsepower luxury sedan. Celebration savings with 0% financing for 72 months on all new 2015 Hyundai Sonata Hybrids and $1,000 in bonus cash. 10-year powertrain warranty coverage and 37-mile-per-gallon combined average equal unmatched value and savings. Celebration savings on all 2015 Elantra SE and Limiteds with 0% for 60 months and $1,000 in bonus cash. And, of course, a 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty. And 2015 Elantra starting at $16,988 plus tax and tags. This celebration is going on all month long only at your home for Hyundai.
Hyundai.
Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. Check out our inventory 24/7 at sunburymotors.com.
All rebates to dealer with approved credit. Not all buyers will qualify. See dealer for complete details.
Turkey lurkey doo and turkey lurkey dap. I eat that turkey, then I take a nap.
And the good thing is, you won't be missing any good football games.
Oh, mercy. And Cindy loves you. All right, so... Maybe we should go back to talking about fishing.
No, that's all right.
You sure?
I'm good, thanks.
You appeared you were on a roll there.
No, I'm fine.
Okay, just checking.
Thanks for asking.
Anytime.
I did like the one story today that has become quite popular is Jameis Winston saying that, you know, they hooked him up with the crab legs so that, you know, It was something they always did. You know, when you went into the store, got whatever you wanted, and walked out. I understand what he's saying. I get that, but isn't that an NCAA violation?
Yes, it is.
It seems pretty cut and dry there.
Yeah. Yep, pretty cut and dried. No question about that.
I sat back when I read that and I went, wow, that is that is the definition of a violation.
Mm-hmm.
Getting something for free because you play football.
Yeah.
That is not associated with the university.
Exactly.
I'm not quite sure how $33 worth of crab legs is in anybody's mind different than
but it does,
a car.
It does beg the question, though, of were there other times they went in there and they were comped some items?
Right.
About that.
That's exactly what the question is. How many times did this happen? Is this the only time?
Yeah, that's that one we don't know.
Well, there was one comment he did that he made in the interview, and Harbaugh. Let's see if I can find it here. So explain that to me. You got them for free, and then Winston said, "Well, a week before it was my buddy's birthday, and we got a cake." And we met a dude that worked inside, and he said, "Hey, anytime you come here, I got you." So that day, we just walked out, and he hooked us up with that. So it sounds to me like there was a time before this.
Right.
And that, I believe, is what the NCAA would consider a level 3 violation.
Well, it's a level something.
But nobody's asking that question. That's what gets me about this, Steve.
Nobody wants to ask.
But nobody's asking this question. Why is that not a violation? And why is the NCAA, now that they see this, go, you know what? We need to look into this.
Yeah, I know. They're not going to, so...
I realize he's done playing college football, but the question you have to ask is, are you going to stop this from continuing?
Yeah, I don't know. That's, and nobody knows that. Nobody knows that. So, and that's... Unfortunately, that's just the way it is. So, you know, oh well. You know, I mean, that essentially he was. Remember what I told you that the key was get to January 15th and everything's going to be fine.
Yep.
That's what he did. He got himself to January 15th. You know, they stonewalled everything just enough, and guess what? They're fine.
The question I have to ask is if you're the agent for Jameis Winston, or you're Jameis Winston, and this interview comes up, why would you even reveal that? I mean, I know it doesn't affect you anymore, so why worry about it? But really, do you want to reveal that?
No. If I were him, I would just keep that.
Yeah. That would not have been something I would have talked to anybody about.
Yeah, I would have kept that on the QT as much as possible. That's just me.
And then he said, here's the other kicker. When all this came out, he said, "Oh, I forgot to pay."
Yeah. Amazing, isn't it?
I don't care how good he is. I still don't want him on my football team.
I understand. I mean, this is one that should be a no-brainer as the first overall pick based on just pure talent. But he brings such off-the-field immaturity to the table. It's a problem.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Recommending a glass of water for Mark Lawrence to take care of the hiccups. Couple of notes for you. Number one, Tim Frazier was named the D-League Player of the Year and Rookie of the Year. He, of course, now is with the Portland Trail Blazers. Number two, the inaugural Dave Gavitt Big Ten Big East Tip-Off Classic. Penn State will host the opening game. We'll host one of the games. It'll be Tuesday, November 17th. It won't be the opening game of the season. But Tuesday, November 17th, they'll play DePaul at the Jordan Center. Number three, James Franklin's going to throw out the first pitch at next Tuesday's Yankees-Orioles game at Yankee Stadium. Now, he missed out, as far as I'm concerned, on a golden opportunity. Because I think there'd be... It'd be incredible if he threw out a first pitch at Citizens Bank Park, because the last three people that thrown out a pitch at Citizens Bank Park were signed by the team. All right, so admit it, that you're laughing.
That was good, yes, and probably accurate as well. Let's see, Hector Neris, I believe is how that's pronounced. Did you see him up in Williamsport in 2011?
No, I don't think so.
Looks like
I don't recall seeing him.
Yeah,
if I did, it made no impression.
Well, that was, he pitched 24 innings in Williamsport back in 2011 before moving up to Lakewood. He is now with the parent club.
He could have pitched in that, you know, when they weren't playing too.
But
in other words. They usually play six games against each other in the first week, and then they don't play again until late August. So he could have pitched in sometime in July, and I wouldn't have seen him.
Well, he is now up with the big club as O'Sullivan is on the 15-day DL for the Phillies.
You didn't even know O'Sullivan was on the team.
Not until about 3 weeks ago, I'll be honest with you. There's a lot of guys on this roster I have that look. I'm telling you.
I feel like I'm watching the movie Major League with the two groundskeepers.
There were a bunch of us that said that over the last couple of weeks that were Phillies fans. Who are these guys?
But he'll throw out the first pitch at Yankee Stadium. I'm telling you right now, he could have picked up a $12 million deal. Just hey, look, he's got an arm. What do you think? All right.
Can you do middle inning relief?
Yeah, it could be with the Pirates, an audition to be a closer. All right. The Penguins will play tonight. They'll play the Rangers down 2-1. While not a must win, it is a highly recommended night for them to win. They don't want to go back to Madison Square Garden down 3-1. So we bring in Tim King from the Penn State Sports Network. And Tim, how do you score?
Boy, there's the $64,000 question. And if you have the answer to it, nope. I can give you Mike Johnson's direct phone number, because he would like to find an answer.
I'd call Jim Rutherford, but I don't think he wants to talk to the media right now.
He's talking to the media in short. In short bursts.
Yeah.
One media member in particular.
I'm not so much on Crosby, but Malkin doesn't appear to be completely healthy. His line's done nothing for a long time. I mean, the line's done nothing.
Yeah, well, he drags that line along with him. Part of the problem with the mix the Penguins have had now, really since 2009, is that if Sid has an off night, or Malkin's hurt, or Sid's hurt, there isn't enough left there on either of those lines to drag them along. And Gino has looked hurt to me probably for a month and a half. I've heard different stories about it's an ongoing groin issue, it's an ongoing back issue, but it's something. He doesn't have that explosive first step that he normally does that allows him to create the time and space to score, and he's still trying to do the things that he does when he has that time and space, and the Rangers have just been able to slam it shut his face. Dan Girardi especially has done a really good job of just taking 71 right out of the game.
You watch a lot of goaltending. You know, we can talk about Fleury and what he has, quote, has not done in some playoff series in recent years. You really can't say it about this time. Looks to me like he's pretty much stood on his head for his team.
Ever since they changed goaltending coaches and he went out and sought out a sports psychologist, he has turned into a different goaltender and in ways and a different person. I mean, he's still a really happy-go-lucky guy. You'd love to have a guy like Marc-Andre Fleury as your next-door neighbor. But especially in the last year, after the losses, he's had a little bit of edge to him that he never had before. Mm. And you know, outside of a bad rebound on the first shot on goal in the series, he has been rock solid. If this club goes down in flames, they cannot point at their goaltender. On the other side, I think he's outplayed Lundqvist. I think
I agree.
Henrik Lundqvist is having huge problems right now with rebound control, especially down low. And you know, if that continues, if the Penguins can't finish him off, they are doomed somewhere down the line to some team that's playing a little with a little more opportunity in front of the net. He
cannot
continue to bounce rebounds out like
that. Yeah, you have to. If you attack the net with a couple of guys, you're going to get some opportunities against him because he's leaving the puck out there. The grace for him has been the fact that his defense would do a great job of, A, clearing bodies, and, two, clearing the puck.
A great stat from the game the other night. The Penguins had 35 attempted shots on goal that either went wide or were blocked.
Huh.
That is a huge amount of rubber that never gets to a goalie.
Wow. Here's one for you. And this is away from the game, but it's about the club. The average TV rating for the Penguins for the sixth consecutive year is number one in the NHL. And not only that, but they've been able to increase their percentage. The Blackhawks are 4. The Minnesota Wild are 5. Now, the bottom 5, I know you're going to find this shocking, but the Florida Panthers come in 30th.
Okay? Would you rather be at the beach, or would you rather be watching what's left of Jaromir Jagr?
Yeah, exactly. Believe it or not, the Devils are next to last. Anaheim is 3rd to last, and they've got a great team. Arizona 4th to last, and the Kings are right there in the 26th spot. What does it tell you about Pittsburgh fans? Because, by the way, the Pirates ratings are the same thing. Pittsburgh fans love watching their teams on television.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And Root Sport has done a very good job of spreading its umbrella across most of the state into eastern Ohio, into northern Maryland, well into even central West Virginia. And the Penguins have done a very good job of feeding that fan base. They put aside 1,000 tickets tonight as part of their student rush program. They kept it away from the season ticket holders. They didn't allow regular Joes off the street to buy these single games. They're holding them back for the kids in the student rush program because they're purposely targeting college students and younger millennials as the feeder of their fan base. They want this to continue on into the future, and they want to get these kids excited about hockey at a young age. So even in the midst of everything that's going wrong with this club this year, on the ice and off, they're making sure that they're reinforcing the fan base for the future.
And not only that, when they're number one in ratings, they're number one by a wide margin. Their rating is 6.55, and even though it's down 13% from last year, that's actually down 13%. Their rating is 6.55. The Blues are second at 4.92.
Yeah. When this team has gotten on rolls in the last couple of years in the playoffs and gotten to the Eastern Conference Finals, or even in the 2 years they made the Cup Finals, The local TV ratings were in the 30s,
right?
Which outdoes the average Steeler game, which is saying something again. This is really turned into a hockey town, and it's one of the reasons that I've been telling people for years that hockey will be fine at Penn State forever and ever, because half of the state has grown up with the game.
Yeah.
And they'll just bring it right to Happy Valley with them.
And to think they could have been in Kansas City or Portland. You know, you should, again, the worst kind of management or ownership is the one that panics. The best one has some foresight and big picture. The Penguins were able to stay in Pittsburgh. Now look at where they are, because they finally got a good hockey team, which has now lasted two and a half, you know, over two decades. It's made a big difference. Okay, I talked about how the Ducks and the Kings were in the bottom five, but they are in the top five in terms of percentage of increase. The Ducks actually are up 26% this year. The Kings are actually up 43% this year. The number one team in ratings moving up, the Islanders are up 79% this year in TV ratings. The Wild up 41%, Devils up 39%, the Rangers are up 26%. Now the
more living proof that the best promotion in the world is still called winning.
Yes, it is. And the Panthers, to their credit, not only have the worst rating in the NHL, it actually is in the bottom five of going down. They went down 19% to get to that spot. The Sabres are down. The Sabres are down 24%. Capitals down 24%, and they win, and have a star.
Yeah.
Sharks are down 24%. Now that's tough to see, because I know that when they win, the fans love them. And Arizona's down 32%.
The problem in Washington is that their radio and TV, more radio than TV.
Yes.
It's so bifurcated that even if you're a dedicated fan, you need a spreadsheet to figure out where the game is.
Right.
And, you know, Comcast Sportsnet does this really good job of locking down a very central area, and it's the same problem the Flyers have, frankly, that they lock down a very central area, and they do a very good job of saturating that, but they can't grow the base out. So if you're a Capitals fan in Baltimore, sometimes you can't find the game on TV unless you've got the NHL package.
See, and that's what happens with Root. Root is on all over the place, all over the state.
That's the problem. That's the problem that the Flyers allowed to happen with Comcast, was they were so busy just locking down Philadelphia and that part of the Delaware Valley that they conceded the rest of the state to whoever wanted to come in and take it, and Root was smart enough to go grab it.
And there's no question about that. Las Vegas, by the way, has now sold 11,000 season tickets.
They are going to Vegas, even if they sold 9,998 season tickets.
Yep.
That's a done deal, and as soon as they can get some people in Seattle to get their head out of the sand and stick a shovel in the ground and start building a building, they'll be there next. Quebec City is maybe third or fourth.
Quebec and then Toronto.
There'll be a second team in Toronto before there'll be a team in Quebec. The problem up there is the exchange rate. And if you've been doing any looking through Forbes lately, the dollar has increased in value 18% over the Canadian dollar in the last 7 months.
Well, that's what's happened. For example, I mean, the dollar now is so strong against the euro. I think the euro is like 106 or 108 now, after being about $1.50. I mean, that's how strong the dollar has been internationally. You can't believe that Tim King and I know these things.
See, we got a great education.
It's right. That Penn State education King and I have, we could actually talk in small ways economics.
here's the problem with the NHL. That 18% increase is magnified by the fact that 34% of the revenue that counts as the basis of the salary cap is generated by Canadian teams. And it'll be even more this year in Winnipeg, because those people are just going stark-raving crazy over this team.
They are.
That 34% or 36 or 38 or even 40% this year will be worth 18% less than it was last year.
Right, exactly. Even with Colin McDavid in Edmonton. All right.
Exactly. Yeah. Boy, there's a train wreck looking for a place to happen.
Yeah.
If you're a parent and you've got a hockey playing kid, here's another reason he needs to play NCAA hockey. Because if he gets drafted by an organization that obviously can't put its left skate in front of its right, he can tell them no thanks and go back to school and wait out his eligibility.
Exactly right. Hey, Tim, thanks so much. Appreciate it. Hope to see you soon.
Absolutely. We got to catch a baseball game up there one of these days before the Penn State season's over, and catch a Spike game, too.
Sounds great. Thanks, Tim.
All right. Take care, Steve.
All right. Tim King. We'll talk about some of those numbers in a moment, because what's really interesting is that among the top 16, or actually the top 20 revenue-producing teams in the NHL, the top 20, the seven Canadian teams are in the top 20. How about that one? Tell you more about that in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
It's the Great Tent Event this weekend only!
Oh, I'm excited! Should I bring my sleeping bag and maybe some marshmallows?
Not that kind of tent! We're slashing prices on all vehicles!
Now why would I get a better deal under a tent than at the dealership?
Because tents are...
No, stop! Why not just go down to Sunbury Motors Kia any day of the week and get great prices on a new Kia? In fact, I see they have 0% financing for up to 66 months on all 2015 Optimas and Fortes.
But we'll have balloons at the tent event.
That's okay. I'd rather go see the local guys at Sunbury Motors Kia on the strip in Hummel's Wharf and get a new car with a fantastic 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty. Or I'll check them out online at sunburymotors.com.
KMF financing to all qualified customers.
They've sold 11,000 season tickets in Las Vegas for the NHL. But there's an issue with it, and the issue is as follows. What is played in Las Vegas isn't necessarily watched in Las Vegas. They had the Wranglers hockey team. Their average was below the league average. They eventually folded. Their Pacific Coast League team, the 51s, is well below the average in the Pacific Coast League. They have the lowest attendance of any team in the Pacific Coast League. Their arena football team, same thing, 72% of what the league average is. So what is played in Las Vegas isn't necessarily viewed in Las Vegas. Now, you look at college basketball, they've done well there. But they are estimating that there are 91,000 NHL fans in Las Vegas. 91,000. Now, that sounds good, except the lowest number in the NHL is Nashville at 146,000. Tampa's at 279,000. Now, here's two other cities going after expansion teams. They estimate 241,000 NHL fans in Seattle and 530,000 in Quebec City. The next part of this is that when you look at Las Vegas for NHL expansion, which they've been really pushing hard at, when you look at the six North American franchises, the bottom six North American franchises in the NHL, in terms of the number of hockey fans, are Nashville, Miami, Florida Panthers, Raleigh, Carolina Hurricanes, Columbus, Phoenix, the Arizona Coyotes, and the Tampa Bay Lightning. Nashville, Miami, Raleigh, Columbus, Phoenix, and Tampa. They combined to lose $51 million in 2013-2014, according to Forbes. That's what they combined to lose.
Wasn't there a Canadian Football League or team in Vegas for a while?
Well, yeah, they put one in Baltimore. They put one in Shreveport. They did do that. They put some, yeah, for 1 year, the CFL.
Was it 1 or 2 years? I know the XFL had a team there, but, you know, that the whole league folded.
Yeah, now, this is a different dynamic, though, Kevin, because this is going to be a major league team. Everything I've talked about so far have been minor league teams. When UNLV basketball, for example, was one of the top teams in the country, they sold out the Thomas and Mack Center. But for whatever reason, I think the NHL feels a major need to get into Las Vegas before the NBA does. Get a team established there, get a fan base established before the NBA gets in there. Because I think the NBA wants to go in there, too.
The only sport that seems to do well in Vegas is boxing.
And the last great fight is about to happen, and I know I'm not going to watch it.
Not for what they want to charge.
Not even that I find intriguing. I mean, Mayweather and Pacquiao are both past their prime. The undercard is Holmes Ali.
That might just been a walk-off right there.
I couldn't help it.